Let's open our Bibles together in the Psalm 37, Psalm number 37. And we want to read just a verse from God's Word. And let us consider this morning, the verse is the verse number 31. And we have been singing this morning about the Word of the Lord. Break thou the bread of life, and there is a book that comes to me from one who spake of old. And here in verse number 31 of Psalm 37, it says these words, "The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide." The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word, and we pray that thou will help us to preach thy word this morning. We thank thee, O God, for all the blessings that we have received of the Lord. We thank thee for the words of the hymn writer, which says, "Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done." And, O God, we thank you. Count your many blessings, name them four by four. Count your many blessings, name them score by score. And it will surprise you that there are millions more. O my God, we pray that you'll truly bless us today as we wait in thy presence and write this thy word on our hearts. For we pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Verse 31 of Psalm 37, it says, concerning the righteous man, the godly man, it says, "The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide." We have been thinking about in the Psalm 37 here about the compensation of the child of God and how that God compensates us what we have not as far as the world is concerned, how that God compensates us and compensates his children. We find that there is an inheritance within our hands. We find also there's an integrity, verse 30, within our lips. And now we find there is instruction within our hearts. It says the law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Now the words of this verse indicate that there is a difference, or rather there's a gulf between the heart of the godly man and the heart of the ungodly man. Because it says here, the law of his God is in the heart of the godly man. That's what's in the heart of the child of God. It's the law of God. Now, of course, you say, well, is there a law in the heart of the ungodly man? Yes, there is. If there's God's law in the heart of the godly, there's man's law in the heart of the ungodly man. You see, God's law is based and is none other than God's word. Man's law is on man's word. God's law is final, but man's law is fickle. God's law is forever the same. Man's law is something that always changes, even more changeable sometimes than the weather itself. We read in Psalm 119, in verse 89, it says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." My, thank God, this law that's within our hearts, it's a word that's forever settled in heaven. You remember what the Lord Jesus said? He said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever." Now, when we talk about God's law, as verse 31 says, the law of his God is in his heart. When we talk about God's law, that's a general term for God's truth. And, of course, God's truth is recorded in the scriptures of both the Old and the New Testament. The godly man, therefore, has God's wisdom. And he has God's wisdom in his mouth because he has got God's word in his heart. The book of Proverbs chapter 23 verse 7 says, "As he thinketh, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." As a man thinketh in his heart. And of course we would say more good things if we thought good things. And of course we would think more good things if the law of God was in our hearts. Often think of the words that Paul was writing to the church at Philippi. And he said this, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And I was thinking about that. You know, that those words, whatsoever things are lovely and pure and of good report, that's the Word of God. That's the Word of God, because the Word of God, thank God, it's a lovely book. Thank God it is a pure book. Thank God it is a book of good report. The Word of God abideth, it endureth forever. But of course, man, in his unregenerate state, he glories in man's law. But the man of God, the law of his God is in his heart. Why does man glory in his law? Because he feels that because it's his law, that his wisdom's unequal. But thank God, the Word of God is different. We witness many laws that are enacted in Parliament, and sad to say, friend, they disregard the laws of God. They not only disregard them, they blatantly disregard them. They set aside the laws of God, and we think of the laws that Parliament will seek to bring in, even within this United Kingdom. Sure, truly we can say it grieves the heart of God, and it ought to grieve the heart of the child of God as well, because it's the law of God that's within our hearts. And whenever man enacts the laws of man, which are in contradiction to the Word of God, then it should grieve the heart of us as the children of God. I was thinking of the words that were said to Joshua after the death of Moses. And God said this to him in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mightest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Now, there are many of God's people today, and they do not what's written therein because they don't know what the book says, because they're not students of the book. And many of God's people, sad to say, they do not study much of the Word of God. They study very little of the Word of God. They say, well, that's for the preacher to do. My brother, sister, in Jesus Christ, it is not for the preacher only to do. Every child of God should be a student of the book of God. This book is not for the preacher only. This book's for you. And it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. And then God said this, for then when you do it, when you observe it, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And if you want true prosperity and you want true success, then the way to that prosperity and success is according and observing and obeying the law of the Lord. You see, God's law is written in our hearts. Whenever you read the Word, the Holy Spirit's writing that Word in your heart. Whenever you study the Word, whenever you hear the Word expounded, what is God doing? God is writing that law upon your heart. It is God's precious Word, and there's a witness of the Spirit of God in your heart that this is what I need to do, because this is God's law, because the law of God is written in my heart. Child of God, you and I have to be governed by the Word of God. You and I have got, our lives have got to be governed and dictated to by the Word of God. Now, that does not mean, let us be careful here, that does not mean that we disregard the laws of the land, because the Word of God tells us differently. And the child of God ought to and should obey the laws of the land. In actual fact, the child of God should be those who actually are good citizens. They show good citizenship because they are obedient to the laws of God. They will not only obey the laws, they'll even give more than is required because of their godly lives. But we need to be careful here, because the child of God will obey the laws of men and the laws of the land until those laws conflict with the law of God. Until they conflict with the law of God. Do you remember Daniel? Do you remember Daniel whenever he was taken to Babylon? And here was this young man. And the word of God says concerning Daniel, he purposed in his heart that he would not take of the king's meat. Why? Because it had been offered to idols. And therefore he purposed in his heart that even though that he was in this land and he was taken there as a young man and he was from a very honorable family, Daniel was from a very honorable family. In actual fact, he was certainly believed to be someone of position in his own right, in his own land. But he was taken as a young man and brought into Babylon. And he was being brought in there, and he was to take of the king's meat. But he purposed in his heart. Why? Because he wouldn't break the law of God. He would not break the law of God. The law of God was something that took precedence. And friend, there are laws which will challenge us as Christians. And I believe that as we live, and even in this United Kingdom, the laws that will be enacted by Parliament even over the next years, even concerning what you can do in the church, we're going to be challenged by those laws. And we can obey the laws only as far as those laws are in accordance and in agreement with the Word of God. And if God's Word is in opposition to what man says, then we must obey God rather than men. You remember the three Hebrew children? And they were told that they were to bow down. Listen, you say, well, listen, it wasn't a big thing. They were just to bow down before that idol. And you know, their lives would have been spared. They wouldn't have been in danger. All they had to do was just simply bow down before that image. But in bowing down before the image, they were disobeying the law of God. And those lads had got to make a decision. Would they obey man or God? And they decided before God that they had to obey God rather than men. Not put their lives in danger. Now, friend, let me tell you, the end of the story is a wonderful story. Because God delivered them out of the fiery furnace. And God delivered Daniel out of the lion's den. But I tell you this, there are God's children, whenever they disobey the laws of the land, are not delivered out of the lion's den. And there are God's children, because they took a stand for God, were put in the fires. Whenever they were told to accept the wafer, and that wafer was to be acknowledged to be the body, the bones, the sinews of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were to honor and worship something that was in the imagination of men and church authorities. And if they didn't do it, they would be burned at the stake. They were willing to die. I and many of them did. Now, I always think, when I think back on that history, I always think of the godly ones who took the faggots that would to be burning them, and the flames would be lit there, and they would be burned at the stake. And they stooped down and they kissed the very faggots that were to be lit and they were to burn. And they kissed them and they looked to heaven and says, God, thank you that I'm counted worthy to suffer for your name. That's the grace of God, friend. You see, the law of the Lord, the law of his God, is in his heart. And whenever it comes in conflict with the law of man, then you and I must honor God first of all. Keep your hands in the book of the Psalms. We'll be back there in a moment. Turn to the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Let me show you two chapters just very quickly. Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, the Bible tells us a story of the disciples and how that they were suffering for the testimony of the Lord Jesus, Peter and John. Go to verse number 19. And it says there in verse 19, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge you. Now, what was the challenge that was there? Look at the previous verse. Look at verse 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. That's what the law of man said. That's what the authority said to John and to Peter, that they were not to speak, they were not to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto men, or unto God, judge ye. Look at verse 20. For we cannot but speak the things which we have heard and seen. Verse 21. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing that they might punish them. You see, they were good citizens. They were good citizens. They lived honorable lives, and God's children ought to live honorable, decent lives, moral lives. That's what God requires of you. He says, be ye holy, even as I am holy. And God's children ought to be marked out for holiness. Go back to verse 13 very quickly in that chapter. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That's what they saw. Men that had been with Jesus. Men that loved the Lord Jesus. Men that served the Lord Jesus. And then verse 21. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing, how that they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. Verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Now go to chapter 5. And the fifth chapter of this book, we find there, if you go down to verse 25, it says this, then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom were put in prison are standing in the temple, and they're teaching the people. Remember what they've been told? They weren't to teach, they weren't to speak in the name of Jesus. And here they were standing in the temple, and they were teaching the people. Verse 26, then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you? Here's the law of man. Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Notice what Peter said. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. And friend, God's child is to be a good citizen. There is no excuse why God's child should not be a good citizen. But it is also true that God's child is to put the law of God, because it's the law of God that's in his heart, and God takes preeminence. We ought to obey God rather than man. And man's law gets an outward observance, but God's law gets inward obedience. Now, where do we keep God's law? What does the Bible say we keep it? It says in the heart. And the heart is the symbol of the entire man. The book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 4, in verse 23, it says this, keep thy heart with diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking there in Matthew chapter 12, and he sums it up for us very simply in verse number 34. The Lord Jesus says this, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Now the Bible, of course, tells us that naturally speaking, the heart of man is deceitful above all things. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You say, well, how wicked is the heart of man? If we were left to ourselves, listen, sometimes we can get a holier than thou attitude. Let's be very careful, friend. Because we need to remember that left to ourselves in the natural state, you and I would be no different than anybody else. You and I would be in the same sins as others only for the grace of God. You and I would be in the same hunts and the same hell houses that other people spend their lives and spend their and waste their souls in only for the grace of God, because there go I but for the grace of God. Because the heart of every man, that was your heart in the natural state, mine too. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And that's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15. He said this in verse 19. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornications and thefts and false witness and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defile not the man. Because you see, in verse 18 it says, those things which proceed out of the mouth cometh forth from the heart, and they defile a man. And the heart of man, naturally speaking, you know, David declares here in Psalm 37, that a godly man, the law of his God is in his heart. Well, then the question says, well, how did it get there? Because naturally speaking, remember, the heart of man is deceitful above all things. The law of God's not in his heart. And so naturally speaking, there's not one of us can boast about this, because God's law has no place in the evil heart, Romans 8, verse 7. God's law has no place. But the godly man, the law of his God is in his heart. How did it get there? Listen to me very carefully. It didn't get there naturally. It got there supernaturally. It's of God. It's of God. And there are two verses, can I show you in that? In Jeremiah, in the chapter 31. And in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33, it says this. It says, this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. Of course, I'll put it there. It's not man's putting it there. It's God's putting it there. We have nothing to boast in today. But in the Lord, our confidence, our boast, our rejoicing is in the Lord today, because God says, I will put my law in your heart. That's how it got there. God says, I will write it in your heart and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Or in the book of Hebrews, in the chapter 8, and in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel, after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. This godly man, the law of the Lord is in his heart, not naturally. Because our heart naturally is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But praise God, God puts it in our hearts. And when we were saved, praise the Lord, not only did God save us from our sin, but God wrote his law upon our hearts. That's why, you know, whenever we go to do certain things, there's something inside that tells us that's not right. Why? Because God has put the law of God in our hearts. God planted it there. It didn't come naturally. It was a supernatural work of God. Now let's take it a wee step further very quickly. When God's law is written in our hearts, what happens? What does it do to my life? Brethren, sisters, read Psalm 119. And you'll find in that psalm, there are 8 different titles for the Bible. There's the law of God. There's testimonies of God. There's his ways. There's his precepts. There's his statutes. There's his commandments. There's his judgments. There's his word. And in those 176 verses, you'll find that over and over again, it describes what the law of God, or what the law of God and the word of God does for our hearts, when God writes it on our hearts. Let me just give you some very quickly, because we're coming to a conclusion this morning. First of all, what does God's word do? What does the law of God written on our hearts do? It keeps us from sin. Psalm 119, let's just turn there. Psalm 119, verse number 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So the word of God, or the law of God in our hearts, friend, keeps us from sin. Keeps us from sin. And whenever the devil tempts us to sin, somehow the law of God is written in our hearts, and God brings it to our remembrance. And God says, you can't do that. He brings his word, puts a barrier up. His word, his law. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Friend, let me tell you, there's not one of us today that are not tempted. There's not one of God's children that don't face temptation. All the sins of the flesh, the devil tempts God's children. He tempts people. Yes, he tempts them with the sins of the flesh. But whenever the word of God, when the law of God is hid in our hearts, what does it do? It keeps us from sin. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I shall not sin against thee. It keeps us from sin. You remember the Lord Jesus himself, the sinless, spotless Savior. The devil came to him one day. And the devil tempted the Lord Jesus with 3 temptations. And those temptations were on the 3 points that every man is tempted, every child of God is tempted. The world, the flesh, and the devil. That was the summary of the 3 temptations of Christ. One was the call of the world, one was the flesh, and one was just, it was evil of the devil himself. Now, all, of course, all was of the devil. But the world, the flesh, and the devil, the temptations of the flesh. Now, how did the Lord Jesus face those temptations? He said, it's written. It's written. It's written. You see, God's word is the sword of the Spirit. And the Bible says that we are to resist the devil. And we resist him with the sword of the Spirit. And it says, resist the devil, and he'll flee from thee. And we wield the sword of the Spirit. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, thank God, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Because the word of God conquers the devil. And Jesus said, it is written. It is written. Because the word, the law of God, keeps us from sin. Secondly, the word of God not only keeps us from sin, the word of God cleanses us from sin. Look at verse 9 of Psalm 119. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. You know, there's sometimes things come into our lives and we question, are they right? Are they not? And friend, maybe there are things that we have done and we didn't think they were wrong. And then we came to the word of God. And when we read the word of God, and maybe some night we were sitting just alone and we opened the scriptures, and as we were reading the word of God, friend, something happened. God stopped us maybe at a verse. And the finger of God was put upon a sin in our lives that we didn't think was a sin. We didn't think. We were just carrying on. And the word of God, just immediately, it came like an arrow out of the blue. And the arrow of the word of God went into our hearts. And God showed us something. God showed us that that was a sin. And friend, from that night we knew, I can't do that anymore. I can't do that. Because that's a sin. How do I, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. God's word cleanses us. And the word of God stored in the heart will keep us from sin. I often think of that wee line, and sometimes I write it down for young people. This book will keep me from sin, or sin will keep me from this book. This book will keep me from sin, or sin will keep me from this book. What also does the law of God do? Well, turn to verse 105. Just some familiar verses. We're just looking at some familiar verses. Verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and it is a light unto my path. So instead of stumbling around in the darkness, and my, when we stumble around in the darkness, have you ever stumbled around in the darkness? Have you ever come down the stairs and you thought, maybe you didn't put the light on, you come down the stairs and you forgot the number of steps there were? Heard about a boy just the other night, and he ran down the stairs and he thought he was at the bottom, but in actual fact he was two steps up. And he came down in his mouth and nose, and he sprained his ankle and spent 8 hours waiting in the hospital to get an examination. The boy's a sore. We don't have to stumble about in the darkness. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. But brother, it'll not be the lamp on your feet if you don't read it. You got to use it. There's some people, let me tell you this, and they'll carry the lamp around and they'll walk in the darkness. You know why? Don't put it on. Now you say, what kind of an idiot would do that? Would you be that person? You say to me, no, preacher, tell me. You carry the light of God's word around and don't put it on. How many times you open this book? You're wanting to get guidance. You're wanting to know the pathway. Listen, the pathway is dark and you want help through the darkness. You want guidance. You want light for the pathway. Maybe you ask everyone else. What about asking God? What about opening the book to get the answer, friend? Maybe you say to me, preacher, that's too difficult. Because you see, I would have to study. That's right, friend, you would. Maybe too difficult to put the lamp on, but I'll tell you. You see, when you're running around with crutches, you say, what a fool I was. When you trip over and stumble and are hurt by the way, it would be not a lot easier to spend the time with a light on. And brother and sister in Jesus Christ, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You see, time's away, and sadly David fell. And whilst it was true that God's law was in David's heart, or was in David's head, in reality there was a time that he didn't heed the word of God, because instead of being ruled by the word of God, he was being ruled by lust of the flesh. And David committed adultery. God's law said to Solomon, you can't take unto you a strange woman, because they'll turn your heart. But Solomon dishonored the Lord. And he did his own thing. And Solomon, whilst he was blessed in so many ways and was the wisest man of his day, yet he said this, emptiness of emptiness, vanity of vanity, all vanity. And I hate life. I hate life. You know why it was empty, friend? Because instead of being ruled by the law of God and hiding the word of God in his heart, Solomon allowed the flesh to take over. He was defiled by another law. And he dishonored the Lord. Oh, hide God's word in your heart this morning, brother. Consult this book for the decisions. Walk in the light of this word. For praise God with God's word in your heart. Your lives will be cleansed. You'll be kept from sin. Your pathway will be lightened. As it says, it rejoices your heart. It reveals God's will. It keeps your steps steady. It imparts wisdom. It gives you hope. It gives you friends. It gives you right priorities. It gives you comfort. It controls your mind. It gives you peace. That's all in Psalm 119. The law of the Lord. Lord, hide it in my heart. Write it on the tables of my heart, that I might not sin against thee.